Well, it's good to see you all again tonight. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go to the book of Psalms, chapter 4, or Psalm number 4. Psalm number 4, near the very beginning of that book. Just 8 verses in this psalm, and I wanted to speak for a few minutes tonight about several of the personalities or persons that are in this group. Titled this, I guess, Personalities During Distress. Personalities During Distress. And let's read quickly the 8 verses, then we'll quickly talk about some of the people in this psalm. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Maybe you picked up on some of the different people that are in this particular psalm, and I want to just quickly talk about the 3 different ones. The first one is what we are going to call the sons of men. You could also call them the wicked. That was mentioned there in verse number 2. And I want to point out some characteristics of what these personalities or persons, what happens or what are they doing in times of distress. And of course, the sons of men here are those that don't necessarily know the Lord. They don't have a walk with the Lord. They don't know God personally and have Him affected their lives and trust in the Word of God. Perhaps they're maybe trusting in their own philosophies and things. Maybe you could consider these just regular people of the world. Maybe you think of men and people in our own culture today. Notice in verse number 2 how these sons of men interact. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and then seek after leasing? Let's talk about those 3 things that are mentioned in that verse. The first one being that they turn glory into shame. Anything that perhaps a believer or a righteous person would be excited about, would be having a lot of excitement about what the Lord has done, for example, and maybe spiritual blessings, or maybe you as a Christian have talked about your trust in the Lord, and maybe there's been a sinner or a coworker that kind of downplays that. I know we kind of joke around here in the Gospel Projects with some of the men, you know, nobody's allowed to be happy. If somebody's happy, we come in and we just squash it by telling them, making fun of them or something like that. You know, we see those kind of pessimism in our culture today. You know, one thing to be kidding, but here these sons of men are deliberately trying to bring down any happiness, any praise, any glory, any trust that you may have in your heart as a person of the body of Christ, as a believer. And so they see the glory that you have, and they try to turn it into shame. They're going to try to, the word I put on the slide there is to reproach God's people. They speak reproach. They aren't happy that a Christian is happy. They aren't happy that a Christian is successful. They aren't happy that a Christian can have peace while everybody else is in chaos. And that really drives them a little crazy. So they speak bad about you. They reproach you. They turn your glory into shame. Notice a second thing that these sons of men do. It says in this verse that they pursue vanity, or they love vanity, the things that are worthless. You know, maybe we catch ourselves as well being guilty of this. How many times do we put effort and thought and money or time into things that really are kind of worthless? It's nothing wrong with pursuing certain things in life or enjoying things in life, but when we do those things to the forsaking of what really matters in the Lord, that can be an idol, the Bible calls it. It can be something that is we're devoting our time to. Well, that's what the world does. The sons of men, they spend their time pursuing those things that are vanity. They really are empty. They have no meaning in life. And so if you're not pursuing those same things, of course, they're going to again bring up that reproach or turn your glory into shame and tear you down with those kind of things. But they're really seeking, and that can be a consolation to a Christian. The things that we're pursuing in the Lord are things of value. They're things of worth. The world is pursuing those things that in their mind they may think that they have current worth and value, but in reality, in the sense of eternity, we know that they do not. Then that last little phrase in verse number 2, they seek after leasing. Now, this isn't talking about, you know, being a landlord like Mr. Whitney or something. But that's not what that word means, really, in the Hebrew. It's an older word that we don't use in that sense much anymore, but it really is the idea of deceitfulness. In the Hebrew, that word means trickery. It means guile, deceit. And the sons of men, these are things that we can expect from them. You can expect them to reproach you when you speak about the Lord and your happiness in the Lord. You can expect them to pursue things that are really worthless and meaningless. You can expect them as well to practice deceit, to try to manipulate people, to try to deceive even you, or talk and lie about God's people, whatever the case may be. These are situations that could cause distress to God's people. Again, we're talking about personalities during times of distress. And of course, you can look at the situation we're in right now. It seems that our country is in a little bit of a distress with the coronavirus or the China virus, whatever you want to call it. I like calling it the China virus because it came from China, as our president says. But we won't get into that at this point. But that virus is going through our country and it's causing a lot of distress. And then there's different voices. There's those that are pursuing things that are worthless. There's those that are lying and manipulative about it. There's those that are causing deceit about it. There's those that are turning glory into shame. The sons of men can be expected to act this way in times of tribulation, in times of distress, in times of hardship. But there's another person in this psalm that I wanted to point out, and it is the person of the true God. The person of the true God. I've called this our great God. And I hope you saw throughout this passage what our Lord does, even in times of distress, and it's a great contrast to the sons of men and to the devil's world system. Notice in verse number one, the first thing you can see that in the slide there is that our God enlarges His people. Look in verse one. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. That idea of enlarging means to kind of alleviate pressure. In the Hebrew, it has the idea of bringing relief. You know, you think about the word tribulation, it really means something that is pressing you. Something that's very hard, and you feel the pressure of that. I know that there's a lot of situations in our lives, even in the ministry, where things are full of pressure. If you don't think that there's pressure in the ministry or pressure in serving the Lord, you need to come run a Christian school for a day or two, and you'll see all kinds of pressure and all kinds of stress, and it's something that we have to deal with, but, you know, we've had to learn to deal with it in the Lord. This verse has been an encouragement to me because I see a lot of times the pressure and the stresses that come about the jobs that God's called us to do. And it's natural to see the pressure in that. It's nothing wrong with that. But it is wrong if we start trusting other things outside of our Lord. And when we forget that our God can alleviate pressure. Now, it may be in the world's eyes that the walls are closing in around you and it looks like it is an impossibility. But we serve a God who enlarges us. When I was in distress, He enlarges. He relieves and takes away that pressure and that stress. He widens the area, so to speak. And it says, have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. When we go to the Lord in a time of distress and pressure and stress or whatever the situation is, and when we pray to our God, He enlarges, He hears, and He widens, and He relieves that pressure by encouraging us spiritually, by strengthening us spiritually. Notice, secondly, another thing that God does in this psalm, another point is in verse number three, and I've really appreciated this verse as well. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. Now, I'm telling you, that is a very, very precious truth right there. We could go and speak for untold hours on that fact. It always brings to my mind the idea of holiness. The Hebrew carries the idea of being distinct or to stand out. You know, people may, you know, make fun of, you know, different whatever things that we follow that are biblical standards, or, you know, you may have biblical standards in your home, or, you know, follow certain things and people don't understand perhaps, you know, and hey, it's from the Bible. We like to follow things that are in the Scripture. We like to do those things that our Lord calls us to do and follow those things. But you know why we do those things? It's not because we're trying to make a name for ourselves or not because we're trying to look a certain way or look spiritual. We do those things because the Lord has set us apart as distinct. We're separated unto Him, and many times that side of holiness is often forgotten. God has chosen us and kind of consecrated and set us apart and dedicated and made us distinct to Himself. What a privilege we have to be a distinct child of God. And He sets us apart, even in these days that are hard and difficult and that are distressful, and when the sons of men are doing all the things that the sons of men can be expected to do, we can be encouraged by the fact that God has taken us and He's just set us apart. And we're distinct in our Lord. And because of that, that verse goes on, the Lord will hear when I call. Why can we be 100% confident that God is going to hear? Well, it's because He set us apart. And we are His people. And He's listening to our cry. He's listening to our prayer. And because of that, He can then enlarge and He can have mercy and He can work in our behalf. Let's go on quickly to verse number 7. Another thing that our God does for us in times of distress. Verse 7, you have put gladness in my heart more than in the time that corn and wine increased. Now, think about that. Now, I know it's exciting when we're prosperous. Things are easy when things are prosperous. And it's pretty exciting, you know, to have prosperity, to maybe make money or to have a good job and to have, be able to go and have the corn and the wine that this verse talks about and have the, enjoy the blessings that God's given us, perhaps in this country. But you know what brings even greater joy than enjoying life? Now, my dad likes to use that phrase. I think my dad's watching here. My dad always likes to talk about, son, we're going to go and we're going to enjoy life. It's going to be wonderful. He likes to enjoy the blessings of life. That means going out to a restaurant and enjoying some good food. And I enjoy eating with my dad. And he talks about, let's enjoy life, son. And that's wonderful to enjoy life. You know, God made us to enjoy life. I feel sorry for people that can't enjoy life. They have to walk around, oh, I'm too spiritual and holy to laugh or to tell a joke or to do anything. Oh, we've got to be, you know, this liturgical. The Lord calls us to be joyful. And the Lord even can give us things, the corn and the wine or the possessions or the economic prosperity or the ability to, you know, to make money and to go and enjoy life. The Lord's given us that ability. But you know what's greater joy? Joy that surpasses that is the joy that God gives us spiritually. You know, when I think about the fact that I'm redeemed, that I'm going to have an eternal life with, that I have an eternal life with the Lord, and I'm going to spend eternity with Him, not through any merit of my own. Boy, that will flood your soul with joy. If you think about the things that God has done for you spiritually in the times of distress, that is the joy and the gladness of verse number 7. Only God can put that kind of gladness in the heart. The gladness that exceeds any gladness that our world knows about. Because you think about the many perhaps that have made their millions and, you know, all those that have done these Ponzi schemes or, you know, rigged the stock market and had to go to prison and all those type of things. You know, that gladness that they experienced by being multimillionaires only is fleeting. It only lasts for a little while. Comes down to the end and that gladness will go just as quickly as the money. But in the Lord, there's a permanent and eternal gladness. Even if there's a distressful time and the sons of men are doing what they're doing, our Lord gives us gladness. Then at the end, verse number 8, the last thing we'll look at that the Lord does before we finish up is the Lord gives us safety. He provides safety for us. You see that in verse number 8. You know, only a believer can fulfill verse number 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only the Lord makes me dwell in safety. Now that's an encouragement to my heart. I know even at this time in our country and anytime we go through a tricky or a perilous situation, the Lord gives us safety. Now, I've told you this story before. When I was a boy, I was a young boy, I would have a hard time sleeping sometimes at night, and I'd be scared to death. I'd be afraid that I would die and I would go to hell. Now, that was no peaceful sleeping there. There was a guilty conscience, and there was knowing that I wasn't 100% right with God or whatever the case may be. I was afraid of those things. There was no peace. But you know, when you come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are trusting in Him and that He has redeemed your soul. There is peace that floods you. And you can sleep, you can rest. Now, I'm not talking about just physical sleep here. We're talking about the concept of rest. COVID-19 is going to do what COVID-19 is going to do, and the Lord knows, and He's in control of it all. But you know what we can do in the midst of all of this distress and these pandemics and all the unknowns? We can lay down and rest spiritually in the Lord. And that's a blessing and encouragement to me. Because yes, there's the sons of men. They're wicked. They're going to do their thing. But there's a God that enlarges us. He's set us apart. He's granted us joy. And He's provided safety for us. And we can trust in that. Then as we close tonight, let's look at the last person. And I wanted to talk about the Lord first, and instead of like kind of debated about that. But because God is who He is, we can fulfill what God asks us to do in this psalm. That's why I wanted to talk about what God does first. Because He is the God that enlarges, because He's the God that has set us apart and gives us joy and gives us rest and peace, because of that, then we can talk about the righteous. And I hope that you find yourself among the righteous this very night. Let's look at quickly some things that we can do as the righteous. Verses number 4 and 5. We can worship our Lord and meditate and commune with Him and think thoughts after Him. And I encourage you, by the way, to do that during these times of distress. Stand in awe, verse number 4 says. Actually, that's kind of a misleading translation. If you go back into the Hebrew, it's actually the idea of not being angry. It is actually very, very similar to that verse in Ephesians that says, be ye angry and sin not. It's almost identical as far as the translation. And if you look at some other translations, they depict that. Be angry. You know, I can be angry about some things. I can be angry about the way our world is acting, the way people like the sons of men are over there lying, manipulating, being deceitful. They're over there, you know, doing all the things that they do as far as reproaching the names of Christians. And that makes you angry. It makes you upset. You say, Lord, why are they getting away with this? But you know what God says? He says, well, you can be upset about it. You can be angry about it. But you know what you can't do? You cannot sin. Don't sin about it. Don't let the sons of men lead you into sin. Trust in the Lord. He's the one that's enlarging. And let's sin not. I put that down as letter B there. Live in holiness. Live in holiness. So we're going to live in holiness because we're set apart. Him, that verse number 3 says, Him that is godly for Himself. The Lord has set aside the godly. So we're going to stand in awe. We're not going to sin. We're going to commune and be still. That means as I meditate on the Lord, as I worship Him, and as I live without sinning, I live in a life of holiness. I live up to that life of distinction that God has set me apart, as we read in verse number 3. So to worship, to meditate, to live in holiness, despite what the sons of men are going to do. And then, of course, verse number 5, to trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. That goes along with worship as well. And put your trust in the Lord. Why? Because, again, He's the one that gives peace. He's the one that we've just discussed all those things. He enlarges and sets apart, and He gives us safety. Let's put our trust in the Lord. And then, lastly, verse number 8, as we've already referred to, this is why we can rest. We can rest. You know, now, that is a choice that we have to make. That I have to choose that even though all of this disaster and distress may be going along around beside me in my life and all around me, I choose to rest in the Lord. I choose to lay down in peace and to sleep because I'm in the peace of the Lord. It should be a fairly easy choice. You know, if you spend your time worrying, you're not going to be spending your time resting in the Lord. And it's easy for us to worry. It's natural for us to begin to think of things and think different thoughts and wonder what the Lord's doing or what's going on around us. And it's concerning to us many times. But we can choose to say, Lord, You have enlarged, You've protected, You're the God of safety, the God of holiness, and I as Your people, we as Your people desire to trust in You and to just rest in You and to rest in Your peace. I encourage you tonight and on into this week. We don't know what's going to happen this week. The virus could completely disappear this week. The virus's numbers could go up this week. We don't know what could happen. One of your loved ones may have someone may come down with cancer, or someone may get in a car accident, or you may lose a loved one. We don't know what would happen this week. But we know one thing that is consistent, and that is our God, who is a God of peace. And because of that, I can rest. Can lay down in the midst of a world of chaos. I can lay down in safety. I can lay down in peace. I can lay down in rest. And yet the world looks at that and thinks you've lost your mind. And they reproach you for that. But we trust in our God, our Lord, Jehovah God, that is in control. the one who will give us the rest and peace that we need. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and how it encourages our hearts and how it lifts our spirits to, Lord, many times our flesh looks around and we see the things that are disconcerting to us and we begin to fear, we begin to panic, we begin to worry. We're all guilty of that, Lord. And I pray that you would encourage and strengthen our hearts as your people to understand that you're the God that's in control, even in distress, and that you're the God of peace. Lord, I pray we would rest, lay down in safety and in sleep and in rest and in peace, because we know our God. Father, we can't imagine living through times like we're living through without knowing you. We can't imagine the thoughts that would go through our mind and then the confusion that would be in our mind and heart. But Lord, we know, and we thank you for the message this morning our pastor preached so clear, that we know things are happening for a reason and for a purpose, for your purposes. So Father, give us a mind and a heart that rests and that trusts in what you do. Calm our fears, Lord, and put us at peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time around your word and for our church family. We pray you would bless each one of them this week. And you would encourage their hearts to stay faithful to you no matter what goes on. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.